Amen. This text might look familiar. For those of y'all who were here last week, we're going to be turning back to Luke 11 and read once again verses 1 through 13. Luke 11, 1 through 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. All right, we are in the third week of our series on prayer. I hope you all have enjoyed it so far. I know I have. And we've simply talked about how prayer is the medium by which we connect and relate to God. It's one of the primary ways in which we engage and experience God. And I think all of us, really deep down, if we're the most faithful believer, or maybe if we're just hanging on to faith by a thread, I think all of us truly want to experience and connect with God. If God is real, if God is out there, wouldn't we want to connect with Him? And last week we talked about the first part of the Lord's Prayer, how looking at the first part of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us that prayer begins by orienting your whole life around God, around your Father in heaven and His place in your life and His kingdom will and purposes. And then like a father-child relationship, then only after we have really centered ourselves and oriented ourselves around God, does Jesus invite us to ask God for things. And another word for this kind of prayer you might have heard of course, is intercessory prayer. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about this morning. And I know there's all kinds of questions when it comes to asking God for things. You know, what should we ask God for, or what's appropriate for us to ask God for? You know, how do we do it? Should I just pray about spiritual things, or is it okay if I ask God for a new car or, you know, a new job or something like that? Why won't God answer? Or what happens if God is silent? Now, I'm going to do a whole message on that topic because I think it's really important. Why do I need to pray? This is what actually Dale asked me this, or Dale and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. He said, "Now, doesn't the Bible say that God knows our thoughts already?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, why do I need to pray then if God already knows my thoughts?" Maybe you've had that question. Or why pray if God's will and God's desires are going to be done anyway? These are all excellent questions, which hopefully we'll get to some of them today, but if not, there's plenty of time for more. But I really want us to begin by asking, why should we pray? Why do we pray? I mean, what's the point of prayer? And I think this question of why pray really goes back to a question about life. Like, how does life work? This life that we're all living right now, like, what is it about? If we ask that question, maybe with the best of intentions, with genuine curiosity, it's really a question about the nature of life. Can life be different? Can life be changed, or are we all just destined by fate? I know a friend of mine sent me a book a few years ago by an atheist author that talked about, and his whole premise was basically that all of life is determined, that everything is just set into motion and every little thing is determined. And actually, there's some great points in the book about compassion, but it just got me thinking. That's definitely one thought I've had, you know? What's the point of prayer if everything just is? And I think much of our world, and even us as Christ followers at times, can be tempted to believe in it. We say things like, well, I guess that's just how it is. Or things just are what they are. Or, and Christians sometimes can say this, well, I guess it's just God's will for this to happen. But for Jesus, he clearly believed and lived as if there was a real creator God out there, who was both outside of creation and yet who was intimately involved in how things work here on earth. He was intimately involved in the direction of our lives and just all of the world. Jesus probably thought about Genesis 1, where in Genesis 1, of course, it talks about how God created the world and set it into motion and remained involved in shaping it. And it talks about there in Genesis 1 how all of humanity is made in God's image, which means a lot of things. But for this message, I think about when we think about prayer, one of the things that I think that means is that God made the world and made us to be kind of co-creators or co-rulers with God to help God in shaping how the world is going to be. We have been invited not into a kind of static world that doesn't change, but God has actually invited us into creating a story for the world. We've been invited into this dynamic relationship of cultivating and guiding the world with God toward God's good purposes. But as y'all know, I don't even have to teach anything about this. We all know that the world does not go as it should so many times. We know our lives don't go as they should so often. The Bible describes this as sin, as missing the mark of what God intended. But the good news is that God, like a good father, doesn't give up on us. He continues to work with us. And I think parents, good parents, know that when your kids don't do like you intend them to, you don't just say, well, that was it, right? No, you keep working with them and keep hoping and working that they will live out the intentions that you have and that they have. And so when we think about this, and really the whole point that I'm getting to, is that when God created this world, he created a world that is not just static and unchanging, but that he created this world and invites us to see that God is working his will and purposes in and through it, and that he invites us to do the same. This is an act of faith and trust, right? Like, sometimes I wonder about that, or I've had those doubts in the past. Like, God, are you really there? Are you really going to answer these prayers that I have? But the Bible is insistent that there is a God that is real and active and guiding the world toward his good purposes. And he wants to do it with us, which is pretty amazing to think about. That when we pray and ask for things, it has this effect of moving God's heart into action. That God wants us to pray that we would move God's heart into action. And so I think the first challenge that we have to ask ourselves this morning is, do we really believe that? I mean, do we really believe that? Or when we pray, do we just kind of do it half-heartedly, like, maybe God's out there, maybe God will answer this or not? Or do we believe that there is a God that will respond to us in faith? That there is a God that looks out in the world and says, I want to do things and I want you to be a part of it with me. And I know for me, I have to watch out sometimes when I pray, your will be done. Because sometimes for me, that can be like a little Christian-y cover-up for, I think things are just going to, you know, this is just how they are. And instead, I think God says, don't just pray, my will be done. Like, ask me for things. Praying thy will be done is more about a statement of faith and submission to what God wants over and above what we want. So whether or not God brings about a miracle or God says no, we submit to his will. But either way, we are to have a heart that says we believe that God can do anything. I think about the great Christmas story when the angel came to Mary and said, nothing is impossible with God. That is the kind of heart that God wants for us. I love one pastor put it like this. He said that God has invited us into a relational collaboration. That prayer, all prayer is talking with God about what we're both doing together in life. And I think that's really good, that we're talking with God about what we're both doing in life. And so what are we to pray about? Let's look at our text here this morning. Let's start in verse 3. Verse 3, Jesus says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Give us this day our daily bread. The first thing Jesus invites us to pray for is our daily needs. The food, the finances, the things we need to care for ourselves and our families. Daily bread is a saying alluding to a lot more than just actual bread, but the physical and spiritual needs and nourishment that we have. And so when I said you should pray for a new car, if that's what you need to get from point A to point B, that or a bus ticket, pray and ask God for it. Don't feel any reservation for asking God for it. Now you might, if you start praying for like a Ferrari or something, God might have something to say about that. But God wants us to pray about our daily needs. And notice Jesus doesn't say the bread for the week or the month, but the day. And I think this was purposeful in that we would remember that prayer is a daily relationship and a daily thing that we ask for. That God is found in the present, not in the regrets from our past or the worries for the future, but God is found in the present. And so we should remember daily and moment by moment to trust that God is caring for our needs. Growing up, when Mom made breakfast in the morning, I didn't ask what was for breakfast, next week or coming up on Saturday. I asked for what was for breakfast today. What is this day's needs? And we have to remember that in this time when Jesus is talking to these people, they lived like in an agricultural society where they were mostly poor people that really had to live day by day. Praying for your daily bread means something a little more when you don't have enough, or you only have enough for that day. I think sometimes we forget about this because we live in abundance. So much of us live in abundance here in this country. Why pray for daily bread when you have that 401k that's a nice backup to that daily bread, right? But Jesus invites us to see that it isn't by our own effort. It isn't by our job or our boss or our company or our abilities or our own hard work that our needs are met. But it's simply by God's generosity. And I'm not saying we shouldn't work hard. We certainly should. But I'm saying that when times get tight, when maybe the job you lose your job or maybe something else doesn't go right and times get tight, that we shouldn't have all of our faith in us, but instead have our faith in God. Have our faith in God. Jesus invites us to ask and pray that our daily needs would be met. Verse 4 says, "Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us." Jesus also invites us to pray for our relational needs. Primary to life is relationships. And I hope that when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we don't miss the fact that we are asking God to forgive us as we forgive others. That the two relationships are linked together. That how we want God to treat us, God wants us to treat others the same way. And we must not forget that. That is so, so important. So many times I have been tempted, and I know of others that be tempted, to embrace God's forgiveness, but hold back from it when it comes to someone else who's done something to them. But in this prayer, I love it because just as Jesus teaches us to pray for daily bread, this is a prayer we pray daily, He also invites us to pray for forgiveness daily. Forgiveness daily. I think all of us recognize pretty easily when we get hungry for physical food, right? But how many of us recognize when our hearts are becoming hardened and bitter towards somebody? And the thing that's scary about that is it starts out small a lot of times. Maybe there's just something someone does that rubs you the wrong way, or maybe they've hurt you, but you just brush it off. But over time, you start thinking about it more and more. And Jesus here is saying that when it comes to forgiveness, and I'm going to do a whole series on forgiveness probably in the spring, that it starts out that forgiveness is something that we have to pray daily. That our hearts have the tendency to become bitter or hardened toward our brothers and sisters so easily if we're not constantly considering how God treats us and then instead turning to others and treating them in the same way. Remember daily in your prayers what God has done for you and the grace and mercy that you want to extend for others. It's a lot easier to forgive someone if you've been praying about it day after day after day, rather than trying to do it after years maybe of holding that back. He says, do not bring us to the time of trial or temptation. I don't believe he's saying here and he's praying here not to, he's not teaching us to pray that nothing bad will ever happen to us, though it's nothing wrong to pray for safety and security. But one of the things I think Jesus is encouraging us to pray for here is the trial or temptation when we encounter resistance or hardship, whenever we encounter persecution or God's silence or whatever else, that we would not be tempted to respond to those situations in a way that would not glorify God. That we would not be tempted to act or live in a way that's contrary to God's desires for us to live. I pray all the time when someone makes me mad or I get scared that maybe God's not going to come through. Lord, don't lead me into this place of temptation where I'm going to turn away from you. I'm going to respond in a way that would not glorify you. Those times will come, but Jesus here invites us to be humble before them, to recognize and to request that without God, we can't do anything without God, let alone keep God's commands. It's something that God has to do within us. This is a daily prayer, and once again, it encourages us to align our hearts with God. And to emphasize these things, these kind of three points, our daily needs, our relationship needs, and to not lead us into a time of trial or temptation, Jesus tells us this story here. And I don't know about you, but I love this story because it kind of makes me laugh on one hand, just because I'm imagining this story taking place of this guy going to his neighbor and asking for bread in the middle of the night and his friend being grumpy. Maybe I laugh because I feel like I'd be that friend that's kind of grumpy if you came over to my house in the middle of the night. But there's some profound things here. I just want to read it one more time, starting there in verse 5. Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The Lord is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. I think the key to this story is that verse 8, because of your shameless audacity, which is how the NIV translates it. I've also seen shameless persistence. But Jesus here is saying, look, when you pray for things, be bold. When you pray for things, be bold, be persistent, and go beyond this human kind of fear of asking. I had a friend of mine come over yesterday, and she brought with her, I think, her 6 or 7 year old daughter. And I've met her daughter a few times, but when she came over, she'd never been in my house before, didn't even remember me or Katie's names. She came over, we spent a little time with our kittens. We have a bunch of cats at our house, and so she was enjoying the time with the cats. And all of a sudden she goes, hey, do you guys have any cucumbers and mayonnaise? I want to make a sandwich. The daughter said this. I was like, what? Like, maybe this is a normal kid thing to go over to people's house and ask to make a sandwich. I don't know. But I was, taken aback. I was like, oh, I mean, I can make you a sandwich if that's what you really want. But it just reminded me of how, wild that is, that she felt no fear in asking this kind of bold, audacious prayer. Like, can you make me a sandwich at your own house, even though I don't even really know you and I'm playing with your cats? Like, that's what she asked for. And I just thought, as I thought about that, I thought about this story, and I thought about how so many times we don't ask God for things. We certainly don't ask God for things persistently. And many times we just think it's too big for God. We just don't do it. I maybe it's how mom raised me. I would never go to someone's house and ask them to make me a sandwich if I didn't meet them, you know? But she did, and I think that's what God is saying. Be shameless, be bold, be persistent, ask, and God will respond. It doesn't mean that God's going to give us everything we want by any means. I think I would have a teeth full of cavities and probably just fill my whole life with video games if I was a kid and my mom gave me everything I wanted. God's not going to give us everything we want, but like a good parent, he responds to the bold, persistent prayer of his kids. And to me, that's the point of the comparison in the last section. Jesus says, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts, how much more, and I love that phrase, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit? Or in Matthew's version in chapter 7, he says, will give you good gifts. And the point here is that when we think about what is God like and what is life like, that God wants to give us good gifts. That God's heart is to bless us, to give us the Spirit, and to see our lives and to see the world just infected with His goodness. And so we are to be bold. I think about Abraham bartering with God when it came to saving the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham kept saying, going back to God and saying, God, if there's 50 people, will you really do this? 50 righteous, will you really do this? And God said, all right, no, I'll save the city. And he kept coming back 3-4 times, got it down to, if there is even just 10, will you save the city? Abraham had no problem bartering and contending with God. I think about Moses, when God looked down on the people there at the bottom of Sinai who had turned away from him, and God said, you know what, I'm going to destroy them and start over new. Moses said, no, wait a minute, God. No, you're not. Don't do that. Be faithful. Moses was bold and said, you cannot do this, God. I think about Gideon, who was not this like titan of faith by any means. He was just a regular guy. And he kept saying, God, will you give me a sign? Will you give me a sign? There comes a time in our lives when we need to fight with God, but contend or to really wrestle with God when it comes to our prayer life. And too many times I think we are so willing to give up early. To give up early. Jesus wants us to do 4 things. He wants us to ask with shameless persistence, to keep asking, and to be ready to act when the time is right. I wonder how we might slip up in each of these steps. Many times we don't ask. We just don't ask. James 4 says, you do not have because you do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask. And many times, even if we do ask, we don't ask boldly, we ask timidly. Lord, would you please do this? James 1 encourages us when we ask for wisdom. He says, ask and don't be double-minded, meaning don't ask for something, but in reality, don't really think it's going to be answered. But in faith, grab hold of it like God has already said yes. We so often give up too soon in our prayers. One of the things I always say to my juniors and seniors, or I always used to say to them in high school, was start praying now about what you want, what God wants for you to do in your life. Because my testimony was praying, starting probably my junior year of high school, praying, Lord, I don't know what you want to do. I don't know what you want me to do in my life. Will you show me? Will you show me? 4 years of silence, of not hearing anything, of changing my major in college like 5 times, of being really lost until one day it all clicked for me. Pray and keep praying. Be bold in your prayer requests. I know many of us have been praying for years about something, and maybe you're tempted to give up, or maybe you've been praying and you've just been led nowhere. Don't give up. Don't give up. And finally, I think so many times when we pray and we're bold in praying and we keep praying, we do everything, but then we say, all right, we expect God to do it all. So many times when it comes to praying, God works in our hearts, in our prayer requests, just as He works in others. So many times I've found myself praying for others in other situations when God moves on my heart that it's time to act or it's time to change my mind about a situation. So I just want to encourage our church and to encourage us to pray, to ask, to be bold in asking, to not give up and be ready to move when God tells you it's time to act. And to kind of end, I just want to encourage all of us to pray with this kind of expectation and integrity that God will answer our prayers. Like that God will actually answer our prayers. There's several disciplines that throughout church history we have been invited into doing in order to recognize God's moving in our life. One of those is keeping a journal of our prayer life. You know, we write down our prayer requests, and then we actually record when and how God answers. Maybe it's a quick thing, maybe it takes years, but to write them down, to believe and recognize how God is answering our prayers. But if it's not a prayer journal, one thing that I've been doing recently, and I put a few of them out there on the round table when you leave, but I have these these kind of prayer cards. I read this book recently that talked about this guy has prayer cards where he writes down the top a name or a situation, and then he writes below it, like if it's a name, he writes his prayers for that person or that situation. Sometimes he puts scripture with there to it. Like I think for one of his kids, he prayed that they would not love the world or the things of the world. And there he does kind of similar to a journal. He just puts the date down, and then he waits, and as God responds, he writes that down on the back. All these things are just methods. One of the things about following Jesus, I think growing up I always heard, subtly, you're saved by grace, so you don't have to worry about doing anything, which is true, and it's also not true. Following Jesus takes effort, and I think sometimes as Christians we're just lazy. I'll just say it. I think we're just lazy sometimes as Christians. But I think God, it wants us to not do that, wants us to recognize how we hear His voice and that He will respond. And so one of the things that I've been really working on is being diligent when it comes to recording my prayers and writing them down and writing down how I see God responding. And we should be specific as well. Be specific. And again, all of this, there's not some magic method. It's whatever works best for you. Sometimes I have a hard time with prayer lists because it's just so overwhelming. Sometimes I just need like one card, one person, one situation in front of me at a time. Put that down, get another one. Sometimes lists are just overwhelming for me. So in all of this, y'all, I just want to invite you that the first part of the Lord's Prayer, once again, is about orienting our hearts around a God, a Father who loves you all intimately, passionately, and a God who really wants to hear from His children. A God whose heart is moved when we pray. That the world is not some static place, that we're not just governed by fate. I get it. It's an act of faith to believe that. But Jesus here is inviting us to see that we're a part of something bigger than ourselves and that there is a God that wants to respond to our prayers. I hope and I pray that in this coming week, as we pray for 24/7, that we'll remember that and that our lives will be shaped by the good news of Jesus, who has saved us and opened the way to this relationship with God through His life, death, and resurrection. Let's pray. God, I just want to thank you so much. I just want to thank you so much for loving us, your people, for inviting us to see life as more than just a random accident, but instead a life that you have created, that our lives belong to you, Lord, and that like a father with their children, God, that you love us and you want to hear from us. Lord, I know that you don't always say yes to everything. In fact, many times you say no, and Lord, I'm thankful for that too. That just as, Lord, sometimes I know we need to learn how to ask for things from our human parents, that, Lord, we too need to ask and learn your voice in our lives. But God, I thank you for teaching us to be bold. I thank you for teaching us to be persistent and shameless. I thank you for little L yesterday for teaching me how bold to be when it comes to how to pray. And Lord, I just want to encourage and ask that you would help our church to truly be a praying church, that we would not see any situation too big for you, that we would not give up when we run into persecution or hardship or your silence. But to trust, Lord, and to hang on to the fact that your word is good and it's true and that you care for us. So thank you so much. I want to lift up all those in our church this morning that maybe have been praying and just feel like giving up, that maybe just feel like you aren't there, Lord. Would you increase their faith? Would you encourage them and would you speak to them and would you lift them up close to your heart this morning, Lord, so that they can be encouraged? We love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray all of these things. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one more hymn of invitation. I just want to encourage you. Maybe God has laid something on your heart this morning. Maybe it's baptism, you know. Maybe it's to keep praying for something that maybe it's kind of gone cold in your life. Or maybe it's just to remember. Maybe you've just been hanging on to a thread right now of faith, and you just need God to show up and to encourage you in that journey. Whatever it is, as we sing this last hymn, I just want to invite you to worship, to come forward and pray, to come forward and be baptized, to whatever it is, we are here for you and we love you. Let's worship the Lord this morning.